back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin. We'll be talking through some worldly events coming up in the week that we think you should know about. As always, if you're new here, please subscribe and do give your comments on the events we discuss. We better start, Afshin, Monday, 17th of June, 2024. I just want to start.
That's a good place to start.
That's a good place to start, start of the week. Though I do just want to mention, I'm sure you've seen this, this week, Vladimir Putin is potentially going to be meeting Kim Jong-un in North Korea this week. Now, I don't think it's been officially confirmed, and we don't know exactly what day of the week that will be, but that should be happening this week. Though last week, I don't know if you saw on Friday, it was reported that South Korea and the US had an emergency phone call because they're so panicked about this potential meeting this week. And they hope the potential meeting doesn't result in deepening military ties between.
How do you know they had this phone call?
No, this is reported, I'm saying, if you saw this, but not that I intercepted it, of course, not that I ever admit to that. But don't know if you remember, Kim Jong-un did pay a visit to Putin last September, I think it was, in Russia. And he did take a little look around Russia's military stockpile. We saw footage of that. So I'm sure the US is going to be quaking in its boots. But what do you think this potential meeting is going to signify? I mean, are they trying to send a message to the US and its allies? Or is it just two buddies catching up?
They have things in common, of course, and big militaries. Of course, Britain and the United States killed 20%. Of the entire population of Korea, and Germany killed 27 million Russians. Mm-hmm. So maybe, but as you say, it's Tuesday. You know, that. This reminds me, but I was going to ask you whether you were at that downtown George Clooney, Julia Roberts thing that we were talking about last week's Forecast News. Subscribe if you missed it, because Biden froze apparently and Obama had to take him off stage. Cameras weren't allowed. Yeah. Someone bootlegged it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
see that?
I wasn't there, but
Great news this morning from the Financial Times, the Japanese newspaper. Defense sector hiring at fastest, they mean arms, military beheading babies sector, hiring at fastest rate since Cold War's order book swelled. Vacancies hit tens of thousands. Ukraine conflict spurs demand. Talent war with tech groups. I mean, the conference that, I know it's Forecast News, we're talking about the future, but clearly that Swiss conference was a disaster. Some of the UAE papers are already going, oh, it was a great summit. The UAE, where we're speaking to you from, refused to sign the final communique along with India. China wasn't even there. Brazil, I mean, all these countries didn't even sign it. What a catastrophe.
Well, I suppose the crazy thing, though, as we said last week, Russia, the party who they're trying to create peace with, wasn't even invited to the conference. So I don't know in what world it could be hailed as a great thing. And obviously they rejected Putin's recent calls for peace and a ceasefire. So it doesn't make sense at all.
It was, I think Sunak was there, the British Prime Minister. I should also say Eid al-Adha, the Islamic celebration of sacrifice. And, you know, for the LGBT community watching our show, the Pride Parade had to be stopped in Kiev, called Kyiv, for those trying to wipe out the Russian language in Europe, because of the neo-Nazi element who hate gay people, LGBTQ people. Funny how Western Europe NATO propaganda didn't mention that they're sending in loads of weapons to groups that hate gay people, isn't it? But then again, Russia, as you said, gave that ceasefire plan, and it's been rejected.
That's right. And then
maybe they'll be talking about it at dinner tonight, Monday night, at the European Council informal leaders' dinner in Rue de la Loi, 155 in Brussels.
Dinner? What's the criteria for an informal dinner as opposed to a formal dinner?
I Less think caviar? That's
I don't know.
Three courses instead of
maybe.
Of
like
course, these EU leaders are effectively dining like Goya's Saturn on the on the bodies of babies. They're not covering Gaza, I notice, in NATO propaganda media nearly as much. There were protests outside the Peacock Hall in Los Angeles where Biden was, which aren't being covered either, but they're not, you know, it's the Qatari station, Al Jazeera is covering it, RT is covering it, CGTN.
This informal dinner is interesting, though, because this is a 27 heads of state and governments meant to be going to this, and presumably we'll be talking about the result of the European Parliament elections, and they'll be discussing the new appointments that they'll need to make to the Commission, one of which will be the Commission's president, which for the last 5 years has been Ursula von der Leyen, as we know. Now, some people are supporting her, but there are a few who are concerned about her running again because of her handling of the war in Gaza. Do you think she should stay? Is she going to get another term? We don't know.
It's not up to me.
There is some backlash.
I mean, we've got to remember this is not a democratic bloc because they ban media and press in EU nations like in Britain. Rumble, the channel online, is banned in France. I noticed the European Bank of Reconstruction and Development, or was it the European Central Bank, had to deny that they were going to have to help France because France is about to, according to financial press reports, about to be completely destroyed economically ahead of legislative elections at the end of the week. And I noticed, by the way, that you said Putin might be in Pyongyang. The German economy minister, Robert Habeck, is in China and South Korea, so he won't be at the informal dinner. What's he doing there with Putin up north?
Yeah, he's going to be there on Monday. Yeah. So
asking for help from China?
This is a weird one. So he's got a five-day visit he's going to be there for while stopping in South Korea. I don't really know. I think this is going to be potentially a bit of a tense meeting, given the European Commission recently threatened to impose tariffs against China-built electric cars, I believe. And I think they're going to be discussing that. I'm sure they'll be discussing China's close relationship with Russia and potentially the situation with Taiwan. But he's apparently going to be talking about trade, climate protection and energy policy. But how it's going to go down, I don't know. But I also don't know if you've heard of this interesting case, which is going ahead on Monday, a court hearing that's expected in Russia in the case of a US soldier, a Sergeant Gordon Black is his name, who was detained by Russian authorities last month. Now, he pleaded guilty to some theft charges. He'd been suspected of stealing money from his Russian girlfriend, effectively. Now, before he was arrested, he'd been assigned to the 8th Army at Camp Humphreys in South Korea, interestingly. But he'd then, on his leave, flown to Russia to meet with his girlfriend, apparently stole from her. But I don't know how this hearing is going to go down in the US media. A US soldier stationed in South Korea and arrested by the Russian authorities. Quite an interesting link when we've got Putin potentially in North Korea this week. So I don't know how that one is going to go down.
Putin, of course, who can travel despite the arrest warrant out for him.
It's true.
Jens Stoltenberg, if anyone's in Washington, D.C. at 11 in the morning on Monday, June the 17th, is speaking at the Wilson Center, named after Woodrow Wilson. He's going to be talking about the goals and priorities of the alliance heading into the summit, how the alliance can best support Ukraine. Which summit? Oh, looking forward to the NATO summit coming up.
NATO summit. And then, well, that actually interestingly leads us on to Tuesday. Are you ready for Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, because you don't care about Austria, France. You don't care about Belgium, Slovakia. You don't care about Romania v. Ukraine. 3 p.m. Munich time on Monday. Ukraine is qualified for the Euro football championship, soccer championship, because Russia was thrown out. That's how politicized football soccer is in Western Europe. You're not allowed to put a Palestinian flag out because the people that run football in Western Europe say they're not political. At the same time, they throw Russia out and put Ukraine in. I think the Ukraine v. Romania match will be quite funny because of that. And I should also say the head of Reuters, Steve Hasker, is that it? Is with the OnlyFans CEO, Kayleigh Blair. Arguably OnlyFans is a better source of news than Reuters news agency. And they'll be speaking in Ontario, Canada, whose entire parliament, of course, notoriously applauded the Nazi SS, and Maria Sharapova for a tech conference. What is Reuters doing with a channel famous for porn and talking about tech? All those journalists watching who use Reuters, I think, should be asking questions. But anyway, a lot of money, obviously, in pornography. Maybe that's where Reuters is going.
Oh.
Okay, Tuesday.
We'll have to investigate.
Subscribe.
Tuesday, NATO's Jens Stoltenberg is going to be with Blinken. So after what he's doing on Monday, he's going to be holding a joint press conference. Now, I think the last press conference they held together was in January, if you remember, when Blinken was talking about the drone attack on US forces in Jordan. So I don't know what they're going to be talking about this time. I presume a ceasefire in Gaza, which so far hasn't really worked out.
Well, it can't be the ceasefire in Gaza. That would be an admission from Stoltenberg that NATO, and it is NATO countries, are arming the genocide in West Asia. Stoltenberg tries to steer clear from the beheaded babies using NATO weaponry, I think. So it's bound to be how amazing that summit was in Switzerland and how amazing it is that American weapons can attack Russia. And of course, we spoke to someone recently who was an advisor to the U.S. Secretary of State, the President Blinken, but in a previous time period, who said the terror attack in Russia was designed by Blinken's colleague, Victoria Nuland, before she was fired. Mm. I wonder whether someone will ask them that question because there's a press conference at 11:15 a.m. on Tuesday, June the 18th, after the meeting between Stoltenberg and Blinken. I don't think any of these stenographer appalling excuses for journalism will ever ask that question.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting one to watch for sure, and I'm sure we'll get some news stories out of that one. Also, I don't know if you saw the trial in Munich is beginning on Tuesday over the German Reichsbürger plot, if you remember this, where 8 alleged members of the far-right group Reuss, I think is the name, plotted to...
What's the report called, Millie?
The what?
What is the report called?
The report?
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, you're talking about... I was talking about something else coming from Germany that day with a very long German word. Sorry. Go on. Yeah.
Well, do this first. Oh, no, this was the Reichsbürger plot where members of the far right plotted to attack the German parliament and overthrow the government in 2022. I think their plan apparently was to restore the pre-World War I German empire and forcibly eliminate the existing state order. And apparently it said they took Queen Elizabeth II's death as a signal to act. Their defense lawyer, though, has said they're not terrorists. They're slightly crazy, has been his response. But yet, on the same day as this trial, you're right, annual report on political extremism in Germany is being...
Millie, what's the report called?
I don't know the name of the report.
I've got the name right here.
Political extremism.
Verfassungsschutzbericht is the name.
Is that your German?
Which you refuse to. Interior Minister Nancy Faeser attends the press conference about political extremism in Germany, including activities of far right and far left. This is because Scholz is hated by Germany, and they keep on attacking the far right, AfD, which obviously is, you know, a right wing party. But you can't be more right wing than Olaf Scholz is supporting neo-Nazis in Ukraine. I don't think the AfD says they're not Nazi, even though they're anti-immigrant and they're arguably LGBTQ, and they're racist. But they don't have swastikas on them like Olaf Scholz has money, where Olaf Scholz is sending money to. And far left, left in Germany? I think since Rosa Luxemburg was killed by the Germans, I don't think there's been a far-left party doing well, and they've infiltrated the Baader-Meinhof gang.
I guess
anyway, I don't think that report will be worth...
Haven't they?
Sorry?
They've got to be balanced, though, haven't they? So they've got to have the far-left in there so as not to seem discriminatory to just one...
They're
going to
win, though, aren't they? The other party, Scholz, is hated in Germany.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
France, though, a very sad... memorial. Charles de Gaulle's World War II rallying cry to his countrymen broadcast via radio from London on June the 18th, 1940. Macron, hated in France ahead of legislative elections that we'll see Macron and Mélenchon win later this week. Macron is going to be at the Mémorial de la France Combattante. How can Macron be there when he's actually supporting those that Charles de Gaulle would have attacked? And I should say, one of my favorite pubs in Soho is where Charles de Gaulle did that radio broadcast from.
Oh.
I don't go there anymore. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, no, that would be it's going to be an interesting event there. And then I don't know if you've seen over in the US, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun is attending a Senate hearing on Tuesday with the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. He's going to be answering some questions on why his aircraft is so bad, or basically whistleblowers who have whistleblown safety allegations of his Boeing aircraft. If you remember a few
all
months
of them,
ago,
really?
Well, particular kind of. Well, if you remember a few months ago,
737.
The door flew open mid-flight on the 737, didn't it, a few months ago? I think in total there have been around 529 flight accidents involving 737s and about 5,779 fatalities on this particular type of aircraft. So he's going to be answering some questions.
Wait, so he's talking about like people who can afford to take flights and go on holidays and business trips. He's not talking about the Boeing bomb that wounded or killed 1,000 in the refugee camp in Gaza the other day, where the Americans were supposedly involved, some reports are saying, to rescue 4 hostages from Gaza. So they're going to talk to someone from Boeing, not about this bomb that the Americans gave to Netanyahu to slaughter and behead babies. They're talking about, oh, the 737 plane's not working that well, while the United States sanctions other countries from being able to buy aircraft parts like Cuba, Iran, North Korea, so that their planes, so those countries' safety organizations say their safety of travel is endangered. I think it's disgusting that they're going to talk to the Boeing guy and not talk about the weaponry and the way they weaponize Boeing aircraft to kill people. China 618 shopping day, much more interesting. While the rest of the world is in trouble because of what NATO countries do, second biggest online shopping day after November's Singles Day.
I didn't know China was so suppressive that it only allowed one day a year to shop. So...
You know, there are some people in the...
I assume that's the real reason the Germany economy minister is actually in China then, to have a shopping day, clearly.
Things are much cheaper. And Western sanctions, the Washington sanctions, mean third-party ones they're introducing, so that if you buy from Alibaba.com and all these Chinese-type sites, you get sanctioned if you do it. So maybe that's why the Germany economy is ministers there, early Christmas presents. Obviously, this UN Security Council is going to be talking about Sudan. And actually, Sudan and Ukraine. Sudan, well, you'll notice NATO propaganda media upping the ante a bit on that as NATO nations that have destabilized and destroyed and split Sudan in two, helped by George Clooney, who was on stage in LA with Biden on Sunday night.
That's right.
They're trying to up the ante. The UAE is involved there. Russia is involved there. But against them, the corrupt elements in Sudan. And of course, they'll be talking about Ukraine. But I think all eyes on Barbara Leaf at 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday, June the 18th.
Tell us who she is.
One of Blinken's minions, Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs. Does Barbara Leaf have shares in any of the companies that Blinken used to work for, or Lloyd Austin was a director of, like Raytheon? I don't know. She'll be telling us all about Gaza. I'm pretty sure the Senate committee will be saying, why aren't we giving more ways for Israel to behead babies? What a day for the 56th session of the UN Human Rights Council to begin. The day that the weapons are being discussed. Boeing, as you said. What a day for the UN Human Rights Council to be talking about the occupied Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem and in Israel.
Yeah. And you might be looking out for, though, away from that, on Tuesday, the IMD World Competitiveness Yearbook of 2023 is being released, which ranks the competitiveness of 63 nations. Seems to me like a difficult thing to measure. I don't really know what criteria or metric they can use to make such a generalization, but apparently last year, Denmark was at the top and has been for several years, next to Ireland and Switzerland, apparently the most competitive countries.
Would you be competitive economically?
Not in the sense of GDP, but I just think in the sense of like...
Running?
I don't really... Well, this is the thing. They don't really seem to have a real good criteria.
I mean, clearly, Russia by PPP is now the fourth largest economy on earth, thanks to US, UK, EU sanctions. So they're pretty competitive,
well,
along with China.
The report, they have several pages of the metrics and criteria in which they use, but I had trouble myself of...
Hamas is doing very well. Hamas is doing pretty well in the competitive index. I don't think that'll be in the report. You know, this propaganda free sheet, the family-owned New York Times, says Gazans voice anger at Hamas as war drags on. How did they do that? It's amazing how different groupings are able to gauge levels of competitiveness and who's in, who's out. This is lies. Who is Raja Abdul Rahim and Iyad Abu Huwaila? Why are they allowed to report lies like this? Venezuela, Iran, Syria, Nicaragua, all of these will be in the UN Human Rights Council discussed in Geneva. All right. So NATO, NGO, CIA cutouts will be slagging off Venezuela, the country with the largest energy resources on earth, slagging off Syria, a third of which is illegally occupied by US troops. Nicaragua, they'll be attacking Nicaragua, which has done so much to defeat US proxy terror groups.
Yeah. Well, off the
there you go.
Back of that, makes me want to go on to Wednesday.
No, the Ritz-Carlton, Pentagon City, Arlington, Virginia. Defense One Technology Summit.
Yeah, what is that? The Defense One Technology Summit.
I think it's pegged to the Davos Biodiversity Forum. So while in Davos, the hate area of Switzerland, which tries to neoliberalize the world and privatize it, so all of our resources are given to a couple of oligarchs, while they're doing that, in Virginia, DARPA director Stephanie Tompkins, that's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Those are those drone robots that can walk through landscapes and assassinate you using AI. Yay! Summit focuses on the future of innovation and national security. So the Defense One Technology Summit at the Ritz-Carlton in Arlington, Virginia. Yes. Go there to the Defense One. Go to that summit and see what new ways they'll be finding for slicing off the faces and heads of babies in Gaza.
Mm. And the Ritz-Carlton of all places seems like a really makes sense to have it there.
I know you wanted to go on to Wednesday, but Tuesday is 40 years since the Battle of Orgreave in South Yorkshire, the flashpoint. How weird that Taylor Swift will be playing in Cardiff. I don't think Taylor Swift playing in Wales will even mention that it's mining communities all around there that talk of Orgreave to this day. There you go. You don't hear Taylor Swift talk about much, although she caused an earthquake, apparently, by the number of people at her concert in Scotland. Mm. But it's interesting you even weren't interested in room 342 of the Dirksen Senate office building in Washington, D.C., where they'll be talking about the origins of COVID-19, which killed 20 million people, and which now we hear more and more evidence for the idea that it was part of the U.S. biowarfare program. So actually, maybe you should go to the Ritz-Carlton, find out what new viruses the biowarfare department is creating, and crash the Senate committee hearing on Tuesday, June the 18th at 10 in the morning.
That would make sense. Hopefully we'll get some conclusions then by the end of the week on
I don't think they'll tell us.
What really happened, surely.
I don't think they'll tell us. 20 million killed.
Yeah. Wednesday then, you mentioned the human rights, UN Human Rights.
Wednesday, June the 19th, subscribe.
Wednesday, June the 19th. UN Human Rights Council is going to be discussing the war on Gaza. Now, that's after the UN's findings last week in Gaza, if you saw that, said Israeli authorities are responsible for the war crimes of starvation as a method of warfare, murder or willful killing, intentionally directing attacks against civilians and civilian objects, forcible transfer, sexual violence, torture and inhuman or cruel treatment. That's coming from the UN saying this. They'll be discussing that. Interesting, though, you'll notice when the UN is discussing this, they'll always refer to it as the Israeli-Palestinian situation, won't they? Like, they don't quite know what to call it. It's just the situation of Israel and Palestine, which I always find is interesting. But that's going to be the UN Human Rights Council talking on Gaza.
Guterres is still not even, the Secretary General of the UN still not visited Gaza. I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it? Jens Stoltenberg in Canada. In Ottawa.
So the day after he's been with Blinken, he's going to Canada, making the
which,
round
which trip. Applauded the Nazis of Ukraine. So that shows what NATO thinks of the UN Human Rights Council. You'd think, yes, Stoltenberg should have gone to the UN Human Rights Council, given its NATO weaponry that are beheading the babies and being used to enforce the siege. So as you say, the women and mostly women and children, half of them women and children, the 2 million people in the Gaza Strip, starving to death, bombed, under siege. But then if you go to Paris Villepinte at the Parc des Expositions on that day, same day as UN Human Rights Council, there's going to be a massive arms exhibition, a worldwide market. It's running all week in Paris if you want to behead more babies. And the UN Security Council is discussing Libya, destroyed by Barack Obama, who was seen with Obama with Biden on Sunday night. So many rumors that Obama is running the government with Blinken and that Biden is now mentally ill with dementia. I know. While they're talking about dementia, you're probably going to mention Putin, are you? Is it Wednesday he's arriving, perhaps, in Vietnam?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, it's unclear when he's going to be in North Korea. I think it's possibly Tuesday, Wednesday is when he's set to arrive, and then Vietnam he's meant to be doing off the back of that trip, but it's still unclear exactly what day that's going to be. I thought you were going to mention what Joe Biden's going to be doing on Wednesday. It's Juneteenth in the US. If you're not familiar with
it's
that.
It's the teeth festival.
Juneteenth, which is a holiday to commemorate the abolition of slavery in the US in 1865. And this is interesting. 2021, Joe Biden signed Juneteenth National Independence Day into law, which was the first federal holiday since Martin Luther King Day in 1983, the first new holiday made. But we know, though, slavery hasn't been abolished as of 2024. There's around 50 million victims of modern slavery around the world. The US ranks in the top 10. For slavery, with at least over a million apparently enslaved. India is number one on that list.
Wait, in the United States, official figures show slaves in the US.
Slaves in the US, they rank top 10 in the world. Country.
What's your definition, by the way? Because surely if you got a mortgage and you got a job, and if you don't do what you're told to by your boss, you lose your job, meaning you lose your home. So you're not a slave.
Okay, so you're widening the definition of slavery.
Well, no, you have to do whatever your boss tells you to. Otherwise, you lose everything, your marriage, your house, you have no freedom at all. And wait a minute. So Biden signed this Juneteenth Day. Biden was vice president with Barack Obama, destroyed Africa's richest per capita country, Libya, turned it into an open slave market. Biden is a sponsor of slavery in Africa. He creates slaves. That's what he's done. Maybe he should go to Vienna for the Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space with his Juneteenth Day. It's like having an MLK day, isn't it?
So I guess you're saying they need to abolish the commemoration of Abolition Day, as they clearly haven't finished. There's still more.
No, I mean, clearly they should be arrested. Where's the ICC and ICJ? Obama's wandering around. Biden is wandering around. They were responsible for the destruction of Libya on the British side, Cameron is Lord Cameron, as he's now known, is a foreign minister of Britain. And Sarkozy evaded a jail sentence for his corruption charges. Actually, an international anti-corruption conference is on in Vilnius, Lithuania. Is that some kind of joke? The US anti-corruption coordinator, Richard Nephew, I don't know whose nephew he was, he's there to talk about anti-corruption. They're pouring billions of dollars into Zelensky without any checks and balances. The corruption in U.S. contracts with senators and congressmen to support the beheading of babies in Gaza. The United States talking about corruption. Who are these OECD Secretary General Matthias Cormann, Lithuanian President Gitanas Nausėda, Guatemalan President Bernardo Arevalo, who's just a slave to U.S. Policy because the U.S. Has previously attempted assassinations and killed people in Guatemala who've led it, who oppose U.S. policy.
Yeah, and I think that anti-corruption conference is it's week long, isn't it? Certainly a multi-day conference. So they're clearly very serious about their anti-corruption agenda because they're spending quite a lot of time on it. On Wednesday as well, the World Health Organization, though, is holding its annual H20 summit, which is in support, apparently, of the G20 and G7's health agenda. Subject of this year's summit is the future of global health diplomacy in a changing world, whatever that means. I don't know if they're going to be across Tuesday's discussion. Have you taken the origin of the pandemic?
You taken your 10th shot of COVID vaccine yet?
Don't think there is a 10th shot yet.
Yeah, according to US advice, you've got to take your 10th shot, or are you one of these conspiracy people?
No, I think I've taken as many as I've been told to.
Anyway, obviously, take as many as you like. Forget all these reports about heart problems and vote YouTube, the Pentagon contractor.
Yeah. I think on Wednesday as well, Afshin, clearly our invite as well as our nomination got lost in the post. It's the One World Media Awards held in London, which is an awards ceremony for the most imaginative and compelling stories over the last year. You think if it's an imaginative, it's fake.
At least they admit it's fake news.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there's a focus here on media coverage in the global south. So
I covered
imaginative
that.
Imaginative is not.
I covered that some years ago. And there was Kofi Annan, pictures of it are on the internet, where he's trying to run away from me with a very attractive assistant, I seem to remember. Bob Geldof was there running away from me when I was asking why were the Live Aid actually created war between Ethiopia and Eritrea. There was some Bangladeshi Nobel Prize winner who favored microfinance, which was a scam, which hurt people in Bangladesh. There was Bob Geldof, who was... There were all these people at the One World Media Awards. It was just a scam for NATO propaganda. So they'll be doing stuff to basically support Jens Stoltenberg's agenda, which comes from the US State Department. Who finances One World? Have you had a look? I didn't bother to look.
Well, great.
But yeah, we didn't get an award, yeah.
So you're the reason we've been banned then. Great, thanks a lot. That's
who funds it? And we should ask everyone to subscribe. And also, whenever you hear of any organization, ask who funds it. Wait a minute. One World is British Airways, it says here. The Spanish airline. I think that's a problem with their branding. Because One World is also some kind of holiday thing. Anyway.
Well, if anyone watching is invited and you are going, do let us know.
I mentioned Outer Space. I know we want to go on to the next day to Thursday, but all week is it starts on Wednesday in Vienna, that Outer Space conference. I like the way it's called Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, because when you first think of outer space, I think, Millie, both of us immediately think, what a great place to expand warfare from supporting Nazis in Eastern Ukraine to occupying people and killing them all in Gaza. We want war in outer space, but this is unusually a UN conference on peaceful. I don't know why outer space should ever be peaceful. The 67th session of it.
Yeah. That while later in the week we'll mention China is back from the moon. But
subscribe.
No wars or any attempts to outdo one another in the space game. Thursday then, what's Hollywood actor Arnold Schwarzenegger doing with Ursula von der Leyen? The Austrian World Summit, of course, organised by the Schwarzenegger Climate Initiative to promote solutions to tackle climate change. Obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California for, 8 years? So I guess it's perhaps not as far-fetched as it initially seems. Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen will speak, along with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. That's where he's going to be on Thursday. He'll be speaking at, there in Austria, and US climate advisor John Podesta is going to be there as well.
John Podesta?
Mm.
That's the guy whose emails were leaked to WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, still being tortured in Britain, where there's a date we're expecting, highlighting the fact there's no free media, no free press in Austria or the rest of Western Europe. And how are they talking? Why is Guterres talking about the climate with Schwarzenegger and Ursula von der Leyen? I don't hear anyone talking about the impact of sending all these American, British, German weapons to Israel to destroy the Gaza Strip, pollute the groundwater, the soil, the Mediterranean. Climate. They don't give a damn about the climate if they're sending weapons after Patriot missile batteries. They want F-16s for Zelensky. They don't want any peace talks with Russia. These people don't care about the climate. They never mention the impact of the climate of that USS Eisenhower warship that had to retreat after the attacks in the Red Sea because the US is synonymous now with genocide all around the world. We have no business talking about it. And of course, we're talking on about Thursday, June the 20th. It's World Refugee Day. What a joke to see Ursula von der Leyen and all these people on World Refugee Day talking about that. I suppose they don't want to talk about refugees because the number of refugees they've created from the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, and Ukraine and Gaza. How many refugees has Biden, Blinken, Sullivan, these alleged war criminals, what have they done?
Well, if you look at the UN figures alone, there's expected to be over 130 billion refugees by the end of 2024 in 133 countries and territories and 508 locations. Apparently, they're asking for $10 billion to help with the refugee crisis. Obviously, counting a refugee as a person.
How many billion?
130 million.
They've given 50 billion for war in the past few days to Ukraine. I don't think $130 million is going to do very much for refugees when they've spent $3 trillion creating refugees from bombing Afghanistan daily for America's longest war. They never think, do they, these leaders, that they're creating refugees every time they bomb Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, Ethiopia, Eritrea. They never think about that. They never factor it in. And then they worry about the far right coming to power as masses of people on boats and cars and trains and trucks try to get out of the places that are being bombed by these NATO countries. And then when anyone tries to talk about this on TikTok, which I have to say isn't that great a site, I notice they're challenging the US ban on their Biden's people wanting to destroy TikTok. Joe Biden on April 24th said, you're not going to have any Chinese investment. Obviously, really, because young people are seeing how Biden is genocidal on TikTok.
The platform where you repeatedly keep getting banned, that one. Is that why you don't like it so much?
How is it other people seem to get their message across and seem to be able to talk about things on TikTok and not get banned, but I always get banned. So maybe I'm with Genocide Joe on this one. This Chinese owner ByteDance and TikTok is frankly as bad as the Meta and all the corrupt Pentagon contractor social platforms that prevent free speech, try and stop the people of the world understanding their world and understanding their relationship to power and why they're so poor.
Yeah, and that's Refugee Day. And that's 7 million Palestinian refugees alone worldwide expected by the end of the year. I don't know if that's quite a low figure, perhaps. I think it's counting all those Palestinian refugees who are in neighboring countries and have been over the last several decades. So I think probably the UN figure is probably quite low if you can, you know, put that against the millions of people who are generational refugees. Thursday as well, longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, summer solstice, the longest day. I know, I don't know if you ever went to Afshin Stonehenge. People in England like to go to that prehistoric rocky
structure. How many people like doing that?
I don't know how many.
Are you saying that I like to dress in druids' uniforms and dance to the sunset, or is it sunrise around Stonehenge?
So
you know, it does remind me.
England, effectively.
It does remind me. There's now a McDonald's and a motorway around Stonehenge. If anyone wants to visit and catch the spirituality, it's amazing how many monuments and archaeology has been destroyed by Britain, the EU, and the United States in the Middle East, in West Asia. They destroyed priceless, amazing archaeology in Syria, famously in across Syria, one of the cradles of civilization, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. This is what the Americans, the Europeans, this is what they do. They bomb it to pieces with multi-billion-dollar weapons. Whereas Stonehenge seems to sit there in Salisbury without anyone trying to bomb it, when it's so much a part of ancient European history.
Well, it is the longest sophisticated structure of its kind, so clearly no one
wants
to go near it. They don't want to touch it.
How old is it?
It's prehistoric. I don't know what date. I guess they don't
Older
know
for things
sure
around here.
How long it is.
Anyway, if anyone wants to blow up Stonehenge and destroy it, just like Britain has been destroying monuments in the West Asia, go to the Counter Terror Expo, which starts, which is on it, the closing day is Thursday, June the 20th, at the XL Center. There'll be the Metropolitan Police's SO15 Commander Dominic Murphy and terror legislation man Jonathan Oyle, and they'll be talking about terror in London and Britain. And of course, London is going to be targeted now. London is closely allied with the war, supporting Nazis in Ukraine. London's involved in the war in Gaza. London Counter Terror Expo.
Yeah, I just have to say that you're not condoning violence on Stonehenge.
No, that's what I say. It's important to go to the counter terror. We've got to counter terrorism.
Yeah.
Although Britain has supported terrorism all around the world. If Victoria Nuland was involved in the Moscow attack recently, Britain is close allies to the United States. Britain is sending in the weapons to kill, behead, maim thousands, tens of thousands of men, women, and children, mostly women and children in Gaza. Who are the terrorists? Who are the terrorists?
Who are they?
Jake Sullivan and Jen Stoltenberg will tell us on Thursday, June 20th.
On Tuesday. Thursday.
No, Thursday. That was
Blinken.
No, Stoltenberg is with Jake Sullivan, guy.
Sorry, I get mixed up with Sullivan and Blinken. They're basically the same person. So,
Cy Hirsch calls them, he has a name for him, Blinken Sullivan. There's a funny, like some sort of fairy tale phrase. Anyway, Sullivan, who is considered a mass murderer in West Asia, because famously you can watch it online, he said, "Oh, as regards beheading babies and killing children with the American weapons, let's see how bad they do it, and then we'll make decisions about whether U.S. law forbids selling weapons to places like Israel, which are responsible for this mass killing of children." I'd much rather be with Chinese Premier Li Qiang in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia on his visit. Hopefully, the Chinese Premier will be having a better time in Malaysia than he did in New Zealand and Australia, which are just outposts of AUKUS and the US Defense Pact military alliance, where nuclear submarines are supposed to go to Australia. I think the Chinese Premier on this visit will be having a much better time in Malaysia than he did in those genocidal countries, New Zealand and Australia, which wiped out so many of their native populations.
And that is on Thursday when China is on its way back to Earth from the moon. That's China's sixth moon mission. It's going to begin its journey back to Earth. Spacecraft carrying a 2-kilogram moon dust sample from the dark side of the moon's surface for scientists to study after its return. 53-day mission. It'll return on June 25th. So
2 kilos doesn't seem...
Discoveries.
I think the Trump campaign will be... Trump hates China, famously. He'll be wondering, what is this 2-kilo object from the dark side of the moon? Yeah. I mean, it sounds very... I mean, it has all...
I wonder how much it's going to go for once it goes to...
China's not going to sell it. They're going to investigate it, find organisms in it. Trying to... Trump would say, to destroy America. That's all China are interested in. Yeah. You know, for Western Europe, much more important in their counter-terror exhibitions and all the rest of it. Maybe they should be more thinking about the European Systemic Risk Board meeting in Frankfurt, because the Western Europe has destroyed their economies on the altar of Washington hegemonic power in their support for the Nazis of Eastern Ukraine. It's going to be not covered in NATO nation propaganda media. There is systemic risk. There always is, but it's higher now for European economies. Look at what's happening to France. Look at what's happening to Germany and Italy. They're not being told this in European censored media because they have totalitarian systems. Perhaps that's why there won't be much coverage of the EU-US ministerial meeting on justice and home affairs on Thursday, which starts. Why are they even talking about justice when there's a Guantanamo hearing supposedly this week? The United States has a torture camp along with this totalitarianism. How is it talking about justice with European Union ministerial meetings on Thursday?
A lot going on Thursday. Brings us to Friday.
Oh, you just don't care about Spain versus Italy. That's going to be a great Euros match, okay. Isn't it? And Denmark taking on England.
Yeah. England, of course, which won against Serbia Sunday, right? That we spoke about the week before on
which is amazing. Yeah, England famously, which bombed Serbia, part of the NATO bombing of Serbia for 78 days of Yugoslavia. You know, I really think UEFA Euro 2024 has come at a good moment, because the old adage of where the powerful try to disconnect you and distract you with bread and circuses, obviously there's less and less bread for the people of Western Europe as they self-sanction, but at least it's a bit warmer because it's summer. It's not so expensive to heat your house. But yeah, more and more starving, more and more malnourished, more and more poor, more and more disparity of wealth. But you can watch the football. That's why it's important. You've got to watch football.
Yeah. If you
let the powerful oligarchs run your lives, at least you can watch the football.
Yeah. Well, always got to have a bit of fun somewhere
Russia are banned. It's not even a proper Euro 2024. They banned certain teams they didn't like because they supported the Nazis in Eastern Ukraine. How is that a football tournament? It reminds me, actually, I know we want to get on Friday, June the 21st, but people should Google England football team Nazi salute. Because technically this year, the Euros, all teams should be giving a Nazi salute and say Slave Ukraini, surely, as part of the Euro 2024, because they threw out Russia, which I think was going to qualify for the football tournament because Russia wanted to attack those wearing the insignia.
Okay. Friday.
Subscribe. Friday, June the 21st.
Subscribe to Forecast News.
Is that the longest day? Or was that Thursday? It's the longest day. It's Friday.
Do you think? Okay, well, we'll see. Well, first up, I've got Friday. Donald Trump, there's going to be another hearing on his motion to dismiss the trial that's based on his allegedly unlawful appointment of special counsel Jack Smith. I don't think this is one we've heard lots about. He was, made effectively the most powerful U.S. attorney, though he wasn't confirmed by the Senate. Obviously still facing charges over his classified documents.
What's Jack Smith? Well, sorry, I don't understand this at all.
It looks like Donald Trump had appointed this Jack Smith as a special counsel, but he wasn't qualified for the role. And I think the way that you're meant to appoint these positions, it wasn't done in the correct way, and the Senate didn't approve. But it basically makes him like the most powerful attorney in the US.
More powerful than the Attorney General.
Yeah, well, one of the most powerful compared to the other attorneys. Bit of a convoluted one. But that is one of the charges, 40 charges in total still.
40 charges against Trump just in this case in Florida.
40 charges, including 32 counts of willful retention of national defense information, 2 counts of conspiracy to obstruct justice. And this maximum sentence is 20 years imprisonment on some of these accounts, though. I don't know, because you know we said when he was convicted the other week, it was said that he's likely to not be imprisoned for that case that he was found guilty of because it's a first offense. Now, then there's question over if he's convicted in these other cases, if then, well, he's no longer a first offender. So would he then be subject to imprisonment? I don't know.
It's all part of the political persecution of the most popular leader, popular politician in the United States. It's obvious to the rest of the world. They're trying the Biden administration. Hillary Clinton famously tried to destroy Trump's victory by claiming he was a Russian asset. Now they're trying lawfare. How is Lloyd Austin, the head of the Pentagon, if they're worried about how special counsel Jack Smith was eligible to be a lawyer in the Trump administration? I mean, Lloyd Austin was a director at Raytheon, which is benefiting right now from genocide in Gaza, because when he leaves, his Raytheon shares will have gone up. Antony Blinken, working for WestExec, which is a military contractor consultancy company. How did all these people, they were allowed jobs in the Biden administration, even though they're going to be benefiting from each baby's head that is sliced off by a British, American, or EU nation weapon? It is horrific the way the United States are operating, and all the world can see it. And Trump has vocally said he will remember the names of every lawyer, every judge, every assistant, every secretary, every court person involved in this persecution of the leading opposition candidate in the United States. So when he's president, watch out, I think is what Trump said. You don't have to be a fan of Trump to see this as a political persecution. And come to think of it, if you think of how Obama is allowed to wander around, the butcher of Libya, who's been responsible for so much mass murder all around the world, and then there's something happening at Luton Crown Court on the same day as Trump is being persecuted in Florida, an ex-Obama official. Maybe you came across this?
No, tell me.
Child sex offenses. Ex-Obama official charged with child sex offences. I don't think we can talk about it because it's a charged. We're not allowed under British law to talk about an ongoing case.
Are we there? We go.
Obviously, innocent until proven guilty. The amount of child sex offences caused by Barack Obama because he has inspired wars, created wars, funded appalling atrocities all around the world during his presidency while Joe Biden was president. I suppose slightly less than Joe Biden is, if you think about the sexual atrocities that he's sponsoring. We know Israel is committing sexual atrocities against Palestinian detainees. Thousands, including children of Palestinians, are held hostage by the British, American, EU nation armed government of Israel. They have been for years. And yet all NATO propaganda media wants you to hear about is those taken at the Nova Music Festival. Many of them, all of them who served as part of conscription in the Israeli army. Friday, June the 21st.
Don't they?
Continued.
We're in the US, though, as well, is the first day of this, 2024 Department of Defense Warrior Games. Now, this is an annual event in Florida for injured servicemen and women, involving 12 sporting events, including sitting volleyball, powerlifting, wheelchair, rugby, golf, archery, swimming, etc. Department of Defense Warrior Games. Have you heard of this before? I haven't, but it seems like a strange thing to be
so
going
So after
on,
they participate in illegal wars, because they come from proportionally poorer income households and are promised college tuition fees and all sorts of inducements and corruption to join the U.S. military to be able to get benefits that richer people have as normal with rich parents, they get wounded and blown.
A sports day.
Yeah, they get blown to pieces in these illegal wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria today and ISIS, Daesh, and supporting the targeting of Russia. Anyway, when they get amputated, and I should say the statistics from Gaza on children being amputated is horrific by the British bombs bombing those children in Gaza. I noticed the other day, we're talking tens of thousands of amputees, of children amputated. So these American soldiers, they're then made to play sports and supposed to celebrate their amputations. Maybe that's why the UN Security Council at 3 o'clock, at 10 in the morning, is discussing Afghanistan. I notice increasing amounts of propaganda media in NATO countries talking about Biden was wrong to remove the troops from Afghanistan. That was one of the greatest things Joe Biden did do. He ended America's longest, the United States' longest war.
Yeah.
Celebrate
Wasn't
Joe Biden
Trump
for that.
Who did that?
Yeah, I mean,
left under Trump,
hooray for Biden. Of course, he then transferred all the weaponry and arms and advisors to go with the people celebrating Stepan Bandera. Do you notice on Friday, June the 21st at 10 in the morning, an RAF commander found guilty of fraud? Wing commander based at the Pentagon appears for sentencing after being guilty of fraud. Alex Drysdale is defrauding the Ministry of Defense's housing scheme by buying a house in Las Vegas. That's an interesting little case. Catterick Air Base in North Yorkshire.
Who is that RAF commander?
Yeah, but the RAF is like just a slave army air force, isn't it? They have these US occupying troops in Britain just to make sure Britain is always in line. They have occupying thousands of troops, drone bases in Britain, in Lincolnshire in Britain, just to make sure that any British political... what was Jeremy Corbyn famously when he started to talk about American occupying bases in Britain? There were those pictures from Afghanistan of British soldiers firing at his face, target practice, pictures of his face, because that's what happens to a British politician that opposes occupying American troops, because Britain's a colony of the United States and has no sovereignty.
Okay. Do you have more?
Also, though,
yeah.
Are you on Friday? You met Olaf Scholz and Viktor Orban from Hungary.
Yeah.
In Berlin. That's not going to go well.
Why not?
Well, Scholz is a Ursula von der Leyen-style woke character who supports neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is right-wing, but doesn't support the neo-Nazis in eastern Ukraine, but then is against LGBTQ people.
Is this a good thing that they're meeting and perhaps can discuss their differences? We've mentioned Viktor Orban a few times on this show recently, and you referred to him as brave the other week.
Brave of me.
He's a brave man.
He is brave. Viktor Orban is being very brave. They'll kill him if he continues to oppose the Washington proxy war through Ukraine against Russia. I haven't heard him talk about Gaza very much, Viktor Orban. Will he be telling the Scholz at the Federal Chancellery in Berlin to stop sending German military arms to Netanyahu? I don't think he will be.
Well, he very well may be, and I think it's a good sign that they're meeting and they can discuss their differences.
They're putting a bug on Orban, probably the Germans, with the American CIA. Masses of U.S. troops in Germany at Ramstein Air Base. Germany occupied by the United States. Although you'd never know it if you were to read the German press.
Okay. Saturday, if you're ready to move on.
Saturday, June the 22nd.
Saturday, Russia Day of Remembrance and Sorrow on Saturday, and this is where Putin traditionally goes to visit the Tomb of the Unknown, which is the
Unknown Soldier.
Unknown Soldier, which is the war memorial dedicated to the Soviet soldiers killed during World War II. As you said earlier, 27 million Russians were killed during that war, and it marks the anniversary of Russia's involvement in World War II, 1941. That was the date that they had to start defending themselves against the Germans when previously they had been aligned with them. That's going to be happening on Saturday, I assume.
Seven out of eight Nazis were killed in the war by Russians, not by the British, by the Americans, by European, but it was Russia that was part of World War II. So no wonder Russia hates Nazis.
Yeah.
But in Canada, they support Nazis. They applaud the Nazi SS. In Britain...
Well, they didn't mean to.
They apologize?
Yeah.
It's too late for the memory of any Holocaust survivors to watch that parliament celebrating the SS. Auschwitz, of course, was liberated by the Soviet Union, by Moscow's troops. No wonder Britain came into the war later, because Britain supported the Nazis in Germany before they realized that Hitler was going to become a threat to capitalist interests in Western Europe, because they didn't like the communists that were going to win in Germany in the 1930s after the Treaty of Versailles, which catalyzed the Holocaust, Treaty of Versailles.
But also, of course, Russia did initially support Germany for longer than Britain did, because they were allied with each other, Russia and Germany, until Germany turned on Russia.
Stalin was an ally.
Call a spade a spade.
It's amazing how this history is warped in British and Western European textbooks. The strategic alliances made by Stalin with Hitler are turned into, oh, Stalin was a Nazi, when nothing could be further from the truth. It was that pact. Why don't you talk about Churchill, or why don't you say Chamberlain was a Nazi? Because there was a pact between Britain and Hitler.
Yeah, well, that
we
was
never talk about the pact between Britain and Hitler in the same way. When Stalin made a similar pact later than Britain with Hitler, they go, Stalin was a Nazi. Well, then Britain was a Nazi country.
Well, we don't obviously need a lesson, but I think the UK did that before they quite understood what Hitler was capable of, and that was before he invaded Poland. And once he had done that, that's when
the British royal family were supporting the Nazis. I think, given it's June the 22nd, the Day of Remembrance and Sorrow, it'll be notable that in Western European school history textbooks, in university courses, on television programs, in British media, in French media, German media, they will be whitewashing the Second World War to lie about it, so that generations of school children will not be able to understand World War II. The Hollywood industrial complex, part of it as well. These are totalitarian areas of the world, the United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Western Europe. Don't believe a word they say when it comes to these wars. Don't believe they didn't know there was no WMD in Iraq, or that Afghanistan had nothing to do with 9/11, or that there were going to be attacks from Gaddafi in Libya, or there were chemical weapons in Syria, or there are attempts by Putin to invade London.
Sunday, again, I don't think they've got our contact info. The SoCal Journalism Awards held in LA. Now, these are awards that started actually during the Cold War, and included in this year's awards is the Wall Street Journal's Evan Gershkovich, who's currently in a Russian jail.
And he's done for spying on installations in Russia.
Well, he's
Evan Gershkovich, who wrote for the Murdoch Press, the Wall Street Rupert Murdoch. And they're celebrating a Rupert Murdoch journalist in prison for spying.
He's been honored with the Courage and Integrity in Journalism Award, is the specific one. Obviously, he denies all of his allegations.
Let's look up Edgewick. People should Google Evan Gershkovich's journalism for the Wall Street Journal rag owned by Rupert Murdoch, which has done so much to impoverish the lives of billions of people around the world ahead of the 2008 crisis. Obviously, it lied about the subprime loans. And Evan Gershkovich writes for this rag that has killed and injured and maimed millions all around the world. And he was writing to promote Zelensky's people. And he's been in prison for spying. Of course, he denied. Does he deny it?
He does deny.
He's a great journalist.
Collecting secret information on behalf of the CIA is what he's in jail for, from a Russian tank factory. I think he was.
He's literally a Murdoch journalist. Why would he not be working with the CIA? How can one trust a Murdoch journalist?
Does that mean anyone working for any news channel, Sky News, anywhere like that? They're all.
Sky News is Comcast now, except in Australia.
Well, previously, yeah,
if you look at Sky Australia, you'll see it's a CIA cutout operation. Sky News in London is Comcast, which has a bit more nuance to it. I wouldn't accuse formerly Sky journalists, are you thinking of? You're not a CIA the cutout. I didn't say that.
Okay. Also on Sunday, people in the UK probably have burnt into their memory this date on Sunday. It's the anniversary of the UK's vote in the referendum to withdraw from the EU. If you remember, 51.9% voted to leave, 48.1% opposed. That's for Brexit. That's the anniversary on Sunday.
Nigel Farage riding high in the opinion polls, beating the Tories, but not invited onto mainstream media in Britain ahead of the British election on American Independence Day.
Reform Party, that is.
Yeah. I mean, clearly we won't get any awards from this so-called Cold War neo-fascist journalism award system. But I notice Javier Milei is being celebrated by elements of the neoliberal Ayn Rand style, right? He's gone to Berlin on Sunday, June the 23rd. That's just a day ahead of Argentine GDP figures, which are going to show a complete catastrophe in Argentina, which is supported by Washington. Argentina, the country of Che Guevara's birth, is now a complete Washington slave country. He's about to sign a omnibus bill of 250 neoliberal measures against the working classes of Argentina. It basically the law of bases, and that's who Milei is. He's trying to destroy the poor of Argentina, and of course he should be meeting Scholz, who's destroying the poor of Germany, arguably.
That's right. That's right. Is that everything you've got for Sunday? I think we should probably leave it there. If
I should just say, Sunday will be the eve of the deadline for Israel to respond to the genocide accusations petitioned by South Africa in the ICJ, ridiculous International Court of Justice, which has enabled the genocide, some might say, while simultaneously saying Israel must immediately halt its military offensive without any of them doing that. Why don't these judges from the International Court of Justice go to Gaza and stand there, see whether Israel doesn't kill them?
Well, you're going to save that for next week, because that's going to be next Monday.
I know. I will say that. But it's Olympic Day on June the 23rd. Olympic Day, celebrating the Olympics, the modern Olympics, and Olympics ahead of the Paris Olympics. And, of course, Russia is not allowed to be Russia at this year's Olympics, because that's the way sport goes in Western Europe. It is a politically charged propaganda tool, just like the Euros are, just like the Olympics are. But I'll be watching. I notice you will be boycotting the Euros, Millie. Well done.
I'm just not that much of a football watcher. I can't lie. But there we go. We better leave it
there. Subscribe. See you next week.
Thank you for watching. Subscribe. You can watch us on YouTube, Spotify, all the podcasting platforms. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought of the events we've mentioned today. And we will see you next week.
Wait, but just before we go, I'll give you this, the job section for the arms industry page. As I said, there's so many jobs. Any of you out there who want to work at Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, who are not that against the, you know, were that not that affected by the pictures of beheaded babies at the behest of these companies, 6,000 openings. At all these offense companies.
Go ahead and apply.
See you next week.
It's good for employment, though. Employment, we want people
to
employ.
That's what Blinken said. That's what Biden said. That's what Sunak and Macron and Scholz said.
Exactly. So go ahead and apply. But we will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.